It's time to get brutally honest.
They are a joke. They're a disaster.
They get a full bowl cleaning.
I would honestly dump them in a porta potty.
Yeah.
And then push
Turn
the thing
it upside
over.
Down.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
That was a really strong take I just had on the little intro that we play coming into the radio segment.
I know what it was about.
I don't remember what I was yelling about.
Gotta be about the Coyotes.
Yeah, might have been about the Coyotes. I think it might have been about the Browns.
One or the other.
It's one of the two. It's either the Coyotes or the Browns.
Coyotes are terrible.
What, the Browns are better than the Coyotes? Who would you rather be a fan of? The Browns or the Coyotes?
No, here's the question. If you had to pick one position in management where you could get the shanty job, are you taking it with the Browns or the Coyotes?
Coyotes.
Well, I'll take the Coyotes.
Coyotes.
More knowledge. I wouldn't know what
the
hell
I was doing.
I'll
take the Browns.
Why would you take the Browns? Why would you want anything to do with the Browns?
Because I just love the idea. I'm going to call.
Who would you call?
I'm going to call Peyton Manning. I'm going to say, do you want to be my right-hand man and we'll run this ship?
What if he's like, I've got $500 million in the bank. I want nothing to do with you.
Okay, but I'm just going to do what Shanny did and get the best of the best and start just wiping all the dum-dums out of the front office.
Okay, you can do that in Arizona, though. Why would you
Who's responsible for this? Goodbye. Who's responsible for that? Goodbye. Just.
Couple reasons why.
And you could become a god.
Couple reasons why. You're right. The option for like godlike figure is only in Cleveland. You're not getting it in Arizona.
Yeah,
you can build a dynasty with the Coyotes, and they're like, "Sorry, you are again. What sport is that? Ice hockey?
They're going to move the team back downtown, and that the fan base will be back there.
No, they're not. That doesn't matter. Who cares?
The actual fact you even said that is so ridiculous.
What?
They're going to move back downtown?
They should have. Yeah, but they made a mistake there. But do you think of the three organizations that struggle with attendance, technically? All three rinks are built in the wrong place. Florida Panthers, they built it in Sunrise. They built it out in a swamp
Park
instead
lawn
of in a big city.
No,
no Park. Sunrise.
Well, it should be in Miami.
It should be in Miami or Fort Lauderdale. Ottawa Senators, It's in Kanata. It's way too far for, the fans do a great job there, but
they don't sell out.
I'd rather have them at LeBreton Flats, and they're going to be eventually. And Arizona.
Okay, what's the excuse for Carolina?
Carolina is just an outlier, I believe, personally.
Okay.
Like that, I don't know if... Oh, you can speak to Carolina.
I think it should be downtown. It's out by the NC State Fairgrounds.
So there's a fourth that's built in the wrong place, but was there a hockey...
I haven't been there in a long time, Jamie, and there's a lot of new construction, housing... I don't know what the area is built up now, but You would think there is a downtown Raleigh. Why not put the rink there? Because that's the experience. You go to dinner, you go for drinks, you go to the game, you go out for drinks after.
Well, why aren't you in Charlotte? Like, if you're going to be in that region, one of the Carolinas, Charlotte is where you should be, would you say?
You go where the population is so that you can fill the building.
But that's not what Cleveland deals with. I mean, Cleveland is a decent-sized city, but... I would choose Arizona because of the climate and because no one would be paying attention to me. So if I fail, whatever. In Cleveland, if you're in the NFL,
it's a bigger state.
You're getting talked about all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Bills today. They put themselves on the map because they made a quarterback change at 5-4. They do not get talked a lot about, and deservedly so. They haven't been a playoff team since the 99 season.
Right.
If you miss out on the playoffs 17 years in a row, people are probably going to move on from you. They're not going to focus on you. And if you're not in Boston, New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami, Dallas, you really have to be a very quality team and a consistently good team to really get national attention. But if you make a quarterback change midweek on a Wednesday, when on Monday you told people Tyrod Taylor is your guy, he is your quarterback, Sean McDermott, after the game on Sunday, after he replaced Tyrod Taylor with Nate Peterman... Well, I don't even know who Nate Peterman is.
He's from Seinfeld.
Yes, he's Mr. He's
Mr.
Peterman.
Peterman.
That should
he's
be
Jay
his
Peterman.
Jay Peterman. Peterman.
If he's not Jay around the locker room, they're
missing
out.
They don't get it. They're not doing it right.
He came out after the game on Sunday, said, don't ask me, Tyrod Taylor's my guy. Came out Monday again after he could watch the tape,
yeah,
relax a little bit, have a beer, chill out. Came out again and said, guys, Tyrod Taylor is my starting quarterback. 48 hours later, he gone. Jay Peterman's in. And now people are talking about the Bills.
Well, maybe the owner stepped in or something changed
days. I don't think it was the owner. I think it was the GM. I would guess that they were shocked they went 5-2. They don't believe they're that good. They believe the team you've seen the past 2 weeks is the true Buffalo Bills. And they don't want Tyrod Taylor. They're going to cut him loose at the end of the year anyway. So get a look at what this Peterman kid has if you're intrigued by him.
Yeah.
Before you go into an offseason where maybe you try to acquire Kirk Cousins or draft someone high in the draft that will be the next wave quarterback. So from that standpoint, I know people are freaking out because they're 5-4 and they're right there in a playoff chase. They're not going to win the division. New England's going to do that, but they are in a wild card race in a watered down AFC. They're not good enough.
So can Jay Cutler get them there?
Get Jay Cutler? No.
I'm saying Jay Cutler. Can he get Miami?
No, Miami. No. Not happening.
Not happening.
It will not happen. It's not going to happen.
That's a 0%.
Well, I can't say 0%, but they've lost 3 in a row now. They got spanked on Monday night against Carolina. Like, I don't see it in
But if
in
we looked
Miami.
At Miami's schedule...
Well, they got the Bills twice.
Right, so I'm saying, you believe that they're going to split that. So Miami's going to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Miami can't get above the Bills?
Well, I mean, technically the Bills are in a wild card spot right now.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
They're in a wild card spot right now, but I think Oakland will pass them. I think Baltimore's got a shot. After that, it gets dicey. I mean, it's a watered-down AFC. Maybe a 7-9 team gets the second wild card. Maybe. But what is that really going to do for you long term? If you're in it to win it and you're trying to build a new program and a winning culture.
Right.
Remember when the Leafs fired Randy Carlyle? At that point, they were in a playoff spot?
Yeah, they were in a playoff spot.
They realized the team was spiraling out of control and they knew Randy wasn't the right guy. They wanted to be in a position to hire a guy like Babcock in the summer. They knew they didn't have it in them.
Like, why don't you ride it out? Like, why do you do the coaching change when you know it's just going to...
Because
isn't fairness to the current coach where it's like, we don't want to do this to Randy?
I think maybe partially, but I also think they realized Shanahan by that point knew this all has to change.
Yeah.
He's got to go. Nonis has to go. The players have to go. He knew by Christmas that first year.
Yeah.
And I think this Bills administration with McDermott and they've got a new GM understands Tyrod Taylor isn't the guy. They've got to make big moves. They shipped out Sammy Watkins. They traded Marcell Dareus. They're not good enough. So they're not going to try to chase down a dream for the fans short-term when they've got a big-picture plan. From that standpoint, I can respect that. That's why I think they made the move.
Well, I've...
Anyway.
It's a good take.
Thank you. Get that for one of the intros.
Yeah,
instead of my just belligerent, screaming takes where I don't even talk about the team.
Just yelling and obnoxious.
Right. Bobby Mack will join us here momentarily. There was a trade in the NHL last night. Mike Camilleri for Juuse Jokinen.
So I watched Edmonton play the other night, and I sent a buddy of mine in Edmonton a note. And it was, I don't know why, but I watched Juuse Jokinen play, and I said, this guy looks like he won a contest to skate with the Oilers. He was so useless that night. And I thought, like, because for me, Juuse Jokinen's been a pretty good player his whole career.
Never a superstar, but always like pretty effective.
Solid and good in shootouts and kind of like a real good utility guy. Can kind of give you good minutes and up and down your lineup and never hurt you because he was responsible and smart and he can keep up with the play. Honest to God, he looked like it was Monday night at
Westwood Arena.
Name a rink. Yeah, exactly.
Here. At Ted Reeve.
And
George Bell. All the gritty rinks in Toronto.
And he was out for a skate.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's been in and out of the lineup and he hasn't.
So what's LA doing here then? Because Camilleri, they have effectively the same contract.
Yeah, it's $100,000 difference. I was talking to O off air too. I was reading Rob Blake's comments last night that Camilleri in a fourth line role isn't effective. I think his last game he played just over 5 minutes. He's not his whole career, he's not been that guy on a fourth line. He's a shooter. He can play in your top nine. But there were guys in L.A.'s lineup that pushed ahead of him. So Blake said, we feel that Jokinen is more of a versatile player that can play in that fourth line role and won't be disruptive and won't just kind of be low maintenance. So that's where I thought the trade makes sense for both organizations.
Two guys that signed deals that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Sure, Cammy didn't like playing. What did he play, 5 or 6 minutes?
He played 540 or something the other night, but I think he'd be fine for Edmonton.
Edmonton's desperate up the wing. That's what it feels like to me, anyway. Let's bring in Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's your take on this? How did this come about? Camilleri for Jokinen and two guys with similar contracts, one-year deals, Edmonton and L.A.?
Yeah, I think you guys mentioned a number of the factors. Neither guy was flourishing where they were, so that was for starters. In terms of the specific needs, Edmonton found Jokinen's game to be really slow and too methodical from a team that's been too slow and methodical outside of There are a couple of high-end forwards. So they want to try to get a little more quickness, a little more natural scoring, potential scoring in their lineup. So Camilleri fits the bill a little more there, even though his numbers have been in a pretty steady and fairly steep decline. He wasn't happy in L.A., getting limited minutes and playing in the bottom half of the lineup. And I think L.A. was envisioning Marian Gaborik coming back in the lineup fairly soon. And they were thinking that that was a redundancy, that they didn't need Gaborik and Camilleri playing in their top 12. Wasn't going to work for anybody, I don't think. So they recognize that Jokinen is not a speed demon, but he's sort of a useful utility guy that will know his role, stay in his lane, do his thing in the bottom half of the lineup, be a solid pro, and have no issues on that front.
So do you expect the dam to break here and more of these deals are going to happen, or was this just a one-off?
No, I think there's lots of talking going on. Now, whether the dam breaks or not remains to be seen. You get the general managers getting together Friday in Montreal for the GM's meeting. Sometimes getting them face-to-face helps spur on a few things, and there are lots of teams that are in the mode to do something, but I think you got to make sure you pump the brakes a little on what that might be. You know, Camilleri for Jokinen is not exactly a blockbuster at this stage of their careers, and those may be the types of deals in the absence of really big-name moves that we might see. But there's lots of teams. I mean, Anaheim, Montreal, the Rangers, they've all been looking for a center since before the season started, and they continue to. Team like Florida, that's aside from their win last night, has been on tough times in the early going. They're looking for a scoring winger. There's lots of teams looking for goals, lots of teams looking for forwards. I'm just not sure how many attractive options there are available right now, but phones are humming, but whether that means anything gets done or not.
Wouldn't you think that the same team that made the deal last night, Edmonton, would want to be the most aggressive? I mean, teams with expectations that are, you look at Anaheim and Edmonton. I know in Anaheim, you could say they're dealing with a tremendous amount of injuries, but Edmonton's got to be thinking, we had no clue we'd be right here at this stage of the game. We got to make a move.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why they did make a move. And they think they're starting to turn the corner. There have been some more positive than negative signs over the last little while. But they I don't think they're fully comfortable with where they're at. And it was suggested to me today that maybe Edmonton could be working on something else. Nothing major, I don't think, but continuing to tweak their lineup to try and get a little quicker, to try and get a little more offense. So we'll see. In the meantime, you know, they're coming off an 8 spot. Now it was against Vegas Golden Knights with an injured fourth-string goaltender. But nevertheless, earlier in the season, that might have been a tough out for Edmonton. And the fact they put 8 up maybe is a little bit of a catalyst to get them going here.
You just mentioned Vegas. Like, Marc-Andre Fleury, isn't this a long time for
concussion? I think it's his third. But I think it's his third, is it not?
I don't know. It seems like it's getting to be a long time.
You know what the problem is, though, too? It's one of those ones where he is so very, very close. My understanding of the situation, and it's not uncommon with some players and concussions, is that he may be going day or two or three with nothing in the way of symptoms, and then just when you start to push it and you think you're over the hump, all of a sudden a symptom presents itself. And it's not a horrible symptom, but it's a clear indication that the brain's not ready to go back to work yet. And so
I feel like that often.
Yeah, exactly. But and I think that, you know, some guys have that profile where the last 3 or 4 or 5% of the recovery is really slow and plodding. And, you know, and if you're doing it the right way, and let's be honest, lots of players and lots of teams don't do it the right way. If you're doing it the right way, 96 or 97% isn't enough. It's got to be 100. And because if you go in at 96 or 97 and you take a shot off the mask or the first guy crashes the crease, then you're back down to, you know, 10 or 20%.
I'll just go back to, I guess, trades and kind of trade chatter in the league right now. You're saying teams are being proactive, and there's no doubt. U.S. Thanksgiving is very close, so teams are starting to assess where they are. But is this where now you're starting to look at potential? I mean, Duchesne's off the market now, so that was the name that everyone kind of circled. But you're still, like, for me, I'll bring it closer to home, like, JVR needs a contract. Bozak needs a contract at some point. Like, there's some pending unrestricted free agents on a lot of other teams that they've got to make some decisions on to, are these guys going to fit into our plan, or do we need to see if there's a marketplace? So is that where GMs start to create a marketplace at these meetings early on in the season to see where they fit with throughout the league?
Yeah, I think the rental market's always interesting, and, you know, and place in Buffalo, for example, what are they going to do with Evander Kane? I don't think they're going to commit to him long term. And there will be interest. I mean, he's outside of the fact that the Sabres are not winning, and he hasn't been as good in his last number of games as he was earlier on, but he's still playing pretty well. That's an interesting name that would be there. But Jamie, to your mention of the Leafs, for example, I'll reinforce it. I don't get this strong sense at this point in time, qualify it that way. At this point in time, I don't get the strong sense at all that Lou Lamoriello and the Toronto Maple Leafs are exploring their options for JVR or Bozak or Leo Komarov, thinking, hey, we can't let these guys walk out of here for nothing at the end of the year. I think, and I've said it before, absent being able to find the perfect fit for the perfect complement to what they need, i.e., say, a good defenseman, which I don't think exists. I mean, you know, if you're going to trade JVR, who's on an expiring contract, and you expect to get a high-end defenseman back for him, it would almost have to be also on an expiring contract, and there's not very many of them around. So, okay, well, then you'd say, well, John Carlson, Washington Capitals, he's on an expiring contract. He's a really good fit for the Toronto Maple Leaf blue line. Yeah, well, he's a really good fit on the Washington blue line. That's why he's playing more minutes than any player in the National Hockey League right now. They're not trading John Carlson. They haven't talked to him about a contract. They don't know if they will talk to him about a contract. They'll see how things play out over the course of the season. And maybe, just maybe, he is available at the deadline, depending on what happens with Washington. But that's a long way to go until they figure that out. And I think the Leafs are in the same boat with JVR and Bozak and Leo, that there's no rush here. Let's let the season play out. Let's go along now. If something pops up along the way, I'm sure the Leafs have the flexibility to say, yeah, we'll entertain that notion for the right player. But I don't think the right player is available right now, and I don't think the Leafs are in any hurry to do that. So a lot of these guys that normally would be rentals, the rental market doesn't really start to get going until closer to the deadline. So as a result, I think that part of the marketplace is a little more chilled. And even in Vegas, I mean, George McPhee is getting calls every day. Hey, what about James Neal? What about David Perron? I mentioned all these teams that want scoring. They're calling George McPhee and saying, we'll take those guys right now. Let's do it. And George has got to be like, well, you know what? We've had a pretty competitive start to the season, even though we're getting dusted here lately. We probably want to try and milk everything we can out of these guys to make this season as competitive as possible and keep our fans happy. And then if things, you know, are you know, going the expansion route way closer to the deadline, then we'll get into an auction for James Neal and David Perron. We're not opposed to trading them, but let's get the auction going closer to the deadline and see what we can drill these prices up.
Thank you, Bob. Enjoy it down there tonight. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, boys.
Bob McKenzie, your TSN Hockey Insider. John Carlson's an interesting one. Like, I didn't realize he was a UFA at the end of the year. And you have to believe, you know, the Caps would make that a priority to lock him up. He's their number one defenseman. But that's where you have to play the game if you're talking money. If you're going to put yourself in a position, let's say he gets to July 1. And I am generally not a proponent of handing out big contracts to free agents.
Right.
But if he's a quality top two or three at 27 years old, you got to think about it if it gets there. I mean, if you're the Maple Leafs, that's where you compensate for JVR's money coming off the books, Komarov's money coming off, Bozak's coming off. Okay, that's a lot of cash. Maybe we direct it towards what we're really going to need help with.
So it would have to be a seven-year deal.
Yeah, it would be seven.
So he'll be 28 by the time it comes around because his birthday's in January. So a 28-year-old, seven-year deal that puts you to 35, and it's going to be a big number. It's going to be six-something or close, probably $7 million a year. What does Shattenkirk get? Shattenkirk got 6'8", I believe.
Something like that, yeah. Somewhere in the sixes.
So you're looking probably at $7 million a year for 7 years.
Oh, it's a big commitment.
But that immediately puts your back end in a different stratosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because Carlson can eat up those minutes, and it slots other players properly. Now it pushes Zaitsev down. Now you've got Riley and Carlson, Gardner and Zaitsev, potentially, if you want to mix that up.
I wonder what kind of tampering goes on. Like, it's very early. It's just, like, does anybody send his agent a message? Hey, should let you know, come around July 1.
It's not even tampering. It's a scout that knows the agent very well and just says, what are you guys thinking? Is he like Washington? It's not saying, hey, my organization has $50 million waiting for your...
Just like the subtle comment. Hey, like, we're interested. I don't know what you think about July 1st.
There wouldn't be a paper trail. It's not like Watergate or something.
No,
you know,
but it's conversations. And that's why I think the NHL actually did it right as far as having that little period now between free agency.
Right.
But send Austin Matthews to go after him. Say, hey, the American guy, isn't he?
Well, players... Like, that's happened in the NBA a lot recently. Players openly campaigning for other players.
They're the main recruiting.
Absolutely. Future... At the All-Star game, this guy was talking to that guy about coming to play. Like, Kevin Durant was a perfect example. Yeah. That, like, him
as going
to Golden
lost,
State...
As soon as they lost, they were in conversation.
Way even before that. Like, every All-Star game, it's like, you're coming here, right? You're going to come there. And then guys tweet about it, and nothing happens.
Yeah, it wasn't...
It's tampering, but...
Wasn't there a player at, like, Mark Cuban's house, and...
That was DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah,
he agreed
and other
terms.
Guys flew in and, like, talked him out of it.
Yeah, like Blake Griffin, Chris Paul.
Yeah, it was the Clippers, right?
Yeah, the Clippers, and they're like, you got to stick around here. And he reneged on the deal. He totally sewered Mark Cuban because he had verbally agreed, but during that 10-day period, nothing's official until you actually sign.
That's right.
He agreed to it. He was in Dallas. He was hanging out with Cuban, looking for places in the, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth area. Man, and then by the 10th or whatever, back in L.A.
That's right.
Signed a monster deal.
I remember that story.
But, you know, like, let's put it this way. If you're a Leaf fan, who would you rather give 7 years, $6.5 million to? JVR or John Carlson?
Well, you've got... With Marlowe
the
in
need
there,
of their
you've
team
got a couple
the,
years. Like you bridge.
The need, it's a pretty obvious
it's
answer.
The need.
It's the need. It's Carlson.
Yeah.
I like JVR. JVR is going to score 25 to 30. Great net presence. Good power play guy. Yeah. You know,
but I'm going to let him hit a home run somewhere else.
You've got Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Kadri, Marlowe. You've got offense.
You've got players.
You've got players.
Marner Brown's going to push up. Like,
yes.
You're going to see guys. You're right. They've got an overabundance of certain players, which is high-end skill.
Yeah.
But they're a little leaner on the back end.
Mm-hmm. We got a really cool situation we're going to deal with later in the hour.
We're
bringing back the Overdrive night
the
at
Brian
the Barry
Hayes,
Molson Center. Well,
the Brian Hayes night?
Brian Hayes appreciation night.
Again?
That went off last
I blew my knee out 2 days after that. I luckily got up to Barry. We had ourselves a great
time.
Imagine
if you had a blown out knee. We would have brought you out there in a wheelchair.
I would have had to cancel. It was a must cancel situation.
No, no.
Absolutely. I wouldn't, like, I'm not going on the ice crutches.
What if you're in a wheelchair and he came out in that uniform that he was wearing?
The Wild Bill, Buffalo Bill costume?
Yes.
I'd probably have the exact same reaction I had when I wasn't in a wheelchair. I don't think a wheelchair would have changed my reaction.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have been able to get away from it.
Well, that's true. Imagine you started pushing me around the ice and I'm just swatting at you. I'd be so mad. Anyway, so we're going to catch up with the Colts captain later in the hour.
That's a, you know what?
It's a big
maybe
get.
You can be an honorary captain for a day.
Actually, you know what? We got to talk about that because one of you two yahoos took my captaincy jersey. I've got one with an A on it.
Well, just check his trunk.
So check trunk.
Check his trunk.
Okay, yeah.
Check the trunk. Well, one of you has a
seat. I know exactly where my jersey
Dude, you
is.
You don't get it. It was all about me. It was for snowboarding, a Hayes jersey with the C.
Okay.
So he took the C.
Oh, I see. So you intentionally set up, because I
don't even know if I
night.
Have it, but that's the wasn't that one of the options for the snowboarding?
I know exactly.
It was. Do you have an A?
Okay, I'll
I don't know. I'll check, but I know exactly. The jersey's on a shelf in my garage.
You're right. If you snowboard in it, you can have the C. But if you're not going to snowboard,
the A,
in
you
that,
deserve the C.
Bring
the A tomorrow, and I'll bring the C.
Right. I'll check
if I have it.
I'll check. My
maybe
garage.
It's yeah. It could be you. And Leafs versus Oilers night at the Pint, December 10th. TSN 1050 is throwing a party. You can win a VIP ticket. We'll play roulette. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll do that next. Make sure you listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, call with the names of all five players. You win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the mighty Arizona Coyotes. November 20th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who played for a relocated team. And today's player is Mike Gartner. Mike Gartner. The Upper Deck Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples. Available at ZypherEpic.com. We just heard Fergie point out that Jose Altidore lost his appeal. We spoke with KJ right after that match, and he said it's not going to happen. This guy's missing the first leg of the next round. Jovinko's out of the first game. I mean, TFC fans, I think they feel good about the depth of their team. They should.
Right.
His team lapped the field.
Take any team. Two best strikers, goal scorers, offensive players out of any pro team.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about it.
Absolutely. You have to be borderline panic mode, if not
full-blown.
What's
the approach in soccer? Just to kind of hold the fort in the road and then try to squash them when you come back?
That's what you have to do, right? But that's the thing. It's on the road. And road goals, the aggregate is so big. And that's how they beat
Montreal.
And that's how they won their first round, effectively, against the Red Bulls, because Jovinko scored on that penalty. And
well, it's... You take any top-end talent out of a team, believe me, they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for other players, but...
This isn't the time where you want opportunity.
No.
Preseason, hey, opportunity. Show the coach what you got.
Take Matthews and who else out of the Leafs lineup?
Matthews and Kadri out. Those are their two top scorers right now.
Take them out of the first playoff game against the Capitals. It's not good.
You'd be going nuts.
Yeah, people would be upset.
Crazy. And I guess like half of Saskatchewan is coming to Toronto this weekend.
Really?
Because the Riders are playing the Argos on Sunday.
Oh, they will show up here, man.
Oh, dude. They're selling a lot of tickets. And we know they've had issues getting people in the building. I mean, everyone's aware of it. It has not been a great year in terms of them selling tickets. But now that they're into the Eastern Final, I think more Argos fans will show up, but they're expecting a lot of Riders fans.
It'd be a goon fest.
Yes.
I bet your Dregs will be there.
Dregs, like Dutchie.
Yeah.
Anyone Dutchie. From Saskatchewan that lives in Toronto, now they're going to be down there and just totally belligerent and...
No tarps.
No, oh, the whole nine.
Fist fights, a lot of whiskey. I wonder Chaser fly in for that.
I'd love to see Chaser fly in. I was thinking of him last night. Someone sent me that video of Robin Leonard getting...
Yeah.
Sprayed, like snowed last night.
Yeah, did you see that?
Not a reaction from anybody on the ice.
Somebody sent that to me, too, saying, remember when this would create a line brawl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if Chaser was on the ice in 1987 and someone did that, he would actually decapitate whoever it was.
Yeah, it's a different game now. That's just the truth. You can't compare.
Chaser. I think I sent him a note last week. It was, I don't know what we were talking about. And I brought up the point in a text, like, you fighting Stu Grimson. Like, who would ever do that? He wrote back, I did it 11 times. Like, he fought the Grim Reaper 11 times.
Mm-hmm. You guys are beautiful.
That's why he's the best. We love him.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. But it should be a wild Sunday afternoon. Jack was talking about it last night. I don't know if you heard that during the game, because the Raptors are at home on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Argos are at home, and it's the Santa Claus Parade on Sunday. So downtown, like, will just be...
I'm not even going near that
me
downtown.
Neither. I'm going the opposite
chalet,
way.
Chalet.
You're heading out of town this weekend?
You'll chalet time,
snowboarding,
buddy.
Snowboarding with your Barry Colt jersey on? With
I'm
going
to see what the...
Young
the snow is looking like?
Well, there's not going to be any snow. It's supposed to be relatively mild.
We don't want any snow.
You always got to test the ground to see what the surface
check
is.
Check it out. Yeah, get out there and see what's up.
We don't want any snow for at least another month.
Yeah. Hold off until...
Christmas.
Yes.
Right at Christmas.
I'm good for a white Christmas, and then beyond that, never done. Snow again. I don't want anything.
I agree, dude. I agree.
Yep. Anyway, all right, so we're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's Maple Leaf versus Oilers party December 10th down at the Pint. Bring out your friends and cheer on the Leafs as they face off against McDavid and the Oilers. We're also looking for 38 VIPs who have a shot at leaving the Pint with Maple Leaf tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for the Leafs Golden Knights New Year's Eve matchup. That is a massive prize.
It is.
So you can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday before the big party leading up to, again, the game December 10th down at the Pint. So the way this works is Mullen's going to play the cheesy roulette sound.
Yes.
I'm going to hit the roulette app.
Okay.
Whatever number comes up, that's the number that we're looking for in terms of people calling in to see if they can win a VIP ticket.
Hit it.
Red one.
The first caller.
The first
fire
caller.
Fire it up.
416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Red one.
I feel like that's a bingo setup. You ever played bingo?
Yes.
Like, do you go to a bingo hall? Like, are you allowed to smoke at bingo halls?
Not anymore, dude.
You're not allowed to smoke indoors anywhere, which is a good thing. It's something I support as a non-smoker.
There's only one place, Vegas.
You can smoke indoors there, yeah. Well, people, that's a law there. That's a rule.
Outside of North America, you go to, like, China and Japan and stuff, South America.
You go to Paris, they smoke
right.
You go
to Paris, yeah.
Anywhere, but I remember being in some bingo halls early.
Like bingo halls?
Yeah, in junior.
Why would you play bingo?
I dated a girl who, I was telling Steph this yesterday, we drove by a bingo hall. She's like, you ever been to bingo? I'm like, yes, several times. My ex-girlfriend used to live at like a bingo hall. Was a degenerate bingo player.
Really?
And so, like, was there just hack darts.
Like a gambling element to it?
Well, I don't know. What do you do at bingo? You just stamp, like you have like 28 cards and you just stamp them away.
Yeah, but why would you play if there isn't like... a payoff.
Well, there's money. There's money involved. Big time.
It's weight. I guess everything is luck. I mean, clearly.
Right.
But it's like slots. I don't understand how you can sit there and just pull the lever for hours on end. And that's how Vegas makes the majority of their money.
Yeah, just pull the slots.
People fly from all over the world. They sit in the casinos and they just slot. And they never win. But they think they're not pumping in that much money because it's like,
a nickel,
you know, pennies,
a quarter,
or but by the end of the day, they pumped in $200-$400, and they're not even paying attention.
Yeah,
but how can you sit there and play bingo?
Well, you buy a card, and then the numbers fall, or whatever. B24.
No, I understand the concept of the game. I don't understand, but like the lure of gambling on bingo.
I know people who have like won at bingo. They win $5,000 cash. Walk out the door.
I've never met anyone under the age of 65 that. Hangs out at a bingo hall.
Here's an Alberta story quickly for you. That family had kind of a beater car. So they decided, we'll take it to bingo that night and put it up for sale. And the person who won the bingo gave them $1,000 cash and drove it away.
No way.
No insurance, no plates, no nothing.
I bought an old Bronco off a guy in a bar in Raleigh. Just like, how much you want for it? $2,000. So I had to take him to exchange the titles, and he's like, I got to do something financially. I'm like, what's that? He goes, well, I still owe $1,800 on the truck. I'm like,
so
I bought it for $2,000. He had only
So you made $200 on it, basically?
I don't know.
He needed to get out from the pain, yes. Probably.
Like, I thought the guy had bought the thing. It was an old piece of crap.
Right.
I thought he had paid this thing off many moons ago.
There was a lien on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Guy.
All right, we've got Colts captain Justin Murray coming in. Our buddy Brad. Remember Brad who picked up the phone when we first called him? The Colts director of community, social, and game day ops. They're in action tomorrow night. Sudbury's in town. Big rivalry. Big game at the Barry Molson Center. Colts are off to a great start this year. Dale Hawerchuk just had a big night in Winnipeg recently.
Dale Hawerchuk night.
There you have it. So we're going to catch up with the boys and revisit our big night up in Barry a few weeks ago. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so I think most listeners are aware of my illustrious history in the hockey world and my brief but impactful career in the OHL. And if you weren't aware of that, you were certainly aware of the fact that we were up in Barrie, what, 5-6 weeks ago now?
Yeah. It was a great night honoring a legend.
We had a great night. It was Overdrive night / Brian Hayes appreciation night. Sault Ste. Marie was in town. The Colts won in overtime.
We helped kick off a great season for them.
I think we played a big role in what has transpired ever since then, because they were pretty hot anyway, but they've really taken off ever since we went up there. And we have their captain in studio, Justin Murray, and our boy Brad, who picked up the phone when we were live on the air. Brad Terry's
Brad
in here.
Brad does it all. And I want to ask the captain first off.
Go ahead.
Have you, like, did you ever hear about this guy as a like, or is it as a player, or as any kind of like athlete or Barry Colt or anything?
He's definitely a legend in the room.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Afterwards.
Why would he know me? Like, be honest. Why, do you think people in Guelph know who you are right now? Be honest. Like, I know your number is up in the rafters, so you would think.
Probably. I think that's a ridiculous question. I'm in the rafters.
Yeah, your number's up in the rafters. But do you think when a guy shows up at camp, they're like, this is where the great Jeff O'Neill played back in 95? You think they know that?
No. I think they're aware of it because I'm in the locker room on the Ring of Honor.
I'm up in the locker room. My picture's in the locker room, isn't it, Brad?
Yeah. Sure is.
Justin,
sure
it's up there.
They put it in. There.
Noodles, Lethbridge, do you think the Hurricanes are rolling in?
No, they don't know me, but I am going there in January.
So but you're up in the Hall of Fame.
I am, retired, right? I think it was just a technicality. They were like, yeah, this guy actually was pretty good.
Don't sell yourself short.
But yeah, no, it's you're aware of it, but the young guys, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to play in the NHL.
Right.
They're trying to get to that next level. They're not worried about the history of the team, unfortunately.
They
should be, but
except for me, right?
Except for Brian.
Yeah. You're aware of that?
Exactly. Yeah.
So does this make you want your own appreciation night, like in 15 years? You're the captain of the team. You would think if I got it, you could probably get it at some point, right?
Yeah, like, I have more than one assist, so I'm hoping
I'll get one. Hey, I was a stay-at-home defenseman.
Yes.
A real stay-at-home.
They told him to stay at home.
Lock the door defenseman.
I took care of the house, as they say.
Snowshoed around the ice.
Right, exactly.
What do you guys got here? What's going on?
So this is great to have you guys up. You're playing again tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Is your coach going to come back with a big head? He was in Winnipeg last night, Dale Hawerchuk night in Winnipeg. I mean, is he going to big time you guys when he gets back tomorrow or what?
Oh, I don't think so. All the boys, we went out and watched it, and it was a good time, and I'm hoping he's not going to.
No.
Maybe.
No.
We'll see.
He seems like a pretty down-to-earth Hall of Famer. I mean, it's almost like an oxymoron to say that. But all right, Brad, take us through this, man. We're on TSN 2, and we'll try to explain it on radio.
So basically, we wanted to honor the night and make sure you never forget it, and you can remind these guys constantly about it, maybe by putting it up somewhere here, at home, wherever you want. But we got a game puck from the night. We made sure we got one of your tickets. Melissa made sure she kept one of them because we knew what we were doing.
Yep.
We got our game photo and then, of course, your contract for the day.
I was wondering where that went.
So we got it all in a frame here for you so that you can never forget about your night.
That is spectacular. And it was a big win, too. The building was pretty packed. It was a good vibe in there. We had a great show.
There was some great food.
Great food. Great help. Brad, you set it up.
There you go.
That is a brilliant looking...
We're going to put it on TV.
Framework.
Turn it towards that camera.
Okay, we got
that
it.
Is classy.
There
that is a class. Are you going to...
They almost dropped it.
Goes in here, or...
why don't we... Maybe we'll set up a poll question tomorrow on the show.
Where should
basement
your contract...
or studio?
Man cave or studio cave? and we'll let the people decide.
I think it should be in the background here.
All right,
I do too, like right behind us. Every show.
Yeah, that's fine. We can do that for sure. Again, we've got Justin Murray, the captain of the Colts, in here. Brad Terry, the Colts director of community, social, and game day ops. We were up there about 6 weeks ago for Overdrive Night, also known as Brian Hayes Appreciation Night.
Yes.
What were you thinking when we walked out on the ice? Because you had to come out for the ceremonial puck drop. I'm sure you've done that
before. We have to ask him again. Like, have you ever heard of our show or us or anything?
Yeah, I've heard of the show. Oh,
okay.
Definitely.
There.
I was just happy I got to come out and shake your hand.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm sure you've done that a few times this year, right? You guys have had different nights. Because who's the captain in the Sioux? What's his name? Kachuk or something like that?
Boris Kachuk?
Kachuk, yeah.
He wanted nothing to
he
do
was
with
so
it.
Embarrassed to be at some
place. He was like, these guys are idiots.
Yeah.
We didn't alert them that this was happening.
So they didn't know this was going on?
No. And they might have if they'd been listening to the show.
Who is their... Isn't their coach Cirella? Joel Cirella?
Yeah, I think so.
He's an assistant.
And he is the grizzliest man ever. And he looks so crotchety on the bench, like he wanted...
They were all kind of rattled that the game was being delayed because the three of us were up there. I thought it worked out pretty well.
It did. It went well. Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty successful evening, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It was great. People were talking to us about it still. It
really?
About
was.
Overdrive nights. So
it was.
Well, we're always on the take, man. If you want to have us up for free, we're willing to come
hey,
up.
Whenever you guys want to.
Whenever you're willing to have us, we're willing to show up. We had a great time, and you guys are playing Sudbury tomorrow night. So how do you feel about the team so far? You guys are off to a really good start.
Yeah, we have a good start. We've had a couple guys out recently, a couple big guys, but... A lot of guys have stepped up, and we're obviously doing pretty good so far. We're first in the conference, so
nice.
Hopefully we can keep it up.
Is Guelph, like, terrible, or is Guelph a good team, or what?
I think Guelph's not bad this year. Are they not bad?
Yeah, they're right in the middle of the pack. We play them, I think, in next week?
Yeah.
Next Friday in Guelph, so.
Okay.
There you go.
Middle of the pack.
We'll be able to good judgment.
They need
there.
A Jeff O'Neill night there. That's why to try and.
Can you get free tickets whenever you want?
What?
Can you get free tickets whenever you want? Like, could you call them up and be like, "I'm coming up."
I got with Jeff the O'Neill. Owners of the team.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Do you have a plaque like that from your night?
I have a jersey in the stands. I'm the all-time leading scorer, you idiot. You have one assist.
I think I got screwed on a couple of phantom second assists that I should have got picked up on. But
they didn't
anyway.
Give them back then.
No. We'll review the tape in the future. Justin Murray, captain of the Colts. Brad Terry in here from the Colts as well. Colts Sudbury at the Molson Center tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it. We really appreciate you guys coming down. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Listen tomorrow. Yeah. We'll let the people decide. Will it stay in studio or
man cave?
Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, boys. Good seeing you. Noodles, you're off tomorrow. You're calling a game?
Yeah, Ottawa Pitt.
All right, we got Craig Friday. In here. Yeah. Craig Button's going to be in here.
Craig will be in
scarf.
Here.
I hope he's wearing a scarf tomorrow. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.